Well, if you have a Bible, you can turn this morning to Psalm 84. So we have 4 weeks until Advent. Yeah, it's coming. Christmas is on the doorstep, and so these next 4 weeks we'll be taking a look at some Psalms. And I would encourage you, you know, if Psalms are wonderful things. They're songs, they're poems, and they speak the whole range of human experience. In the Psalms, we find dealing with sorrow, frustration, disappointment. In the Psalms, we see joy and praise and worship. We see anger. We have a psalmist willing to shout in God's face at the frustration of this life. That's okay. It's a good thing. And so we'll take a few weeks here just to see some good thoughts that we get out of the Psalms. So today is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I've spoke this morning several times of presence. There's a comfort in presence. There's a strength in presence, even on the human side of things. You know, visiting someone in a hospital, there's not much you can do, right? Yeah, if you ever visit someone and they're suffering or surgery or whatever it may be, you often can't do much. Maybe, you know, they're drugged up or those kind of things. But there's a ministry of presence that's helpful, that lifts the heart. And the Psalms are wonderful for bringing out those joys and ups and downs of presence. I was just thinking and speaking with Sherry this morning a bit, and just thinking through how, you know, I mean, I like being alone sometimes. I do. You know, I like to get out by myself. I'll pack up my backpack and just wander out in the woods for a day or two by myself. But even in that, I almost immediately enjoy myself, but a small longing for home, bring me back to my wife, or being back to my family. Yeah. Last 25 years, I mean, I started thinking through it, and man, we haven't been apart from each other for more than a couple of days, maybe. There was a couple in there where, I was gone to Billings, Montana, driving motor coach for a week, and they had me out there for a few days, and you here and there when Sherry went to visit her grandmother for a few days when she was ill and that. But even then, what's amazing to me as I thought about it, even then, I call her every day, you know, just to hear her voice, just to long. And then the coming home, you know, there's just that urge to come home and be with her, with my family. You know, people often feel that way in life, just generally speaking. There's a desire in us for something that seems just out of reach. We fill our lives with things to try to satisfy ourselves. You know, money, success, homes, stuff, sex, traveling, whatever it may be, to fill that longing that seems to be in us. But even then, the more we get, it seems, and I think this is generally established, even then we still ache for something more. And always thinking that maybe more will satisfy. Friends, if you've ever felt that kind of an ache, maybe you're feeling it now. Wondering, you know, what's my place? What's my purpose? Am I, you know, being in a room full of people and feeling alone? That longing that is something that this world just can't seem to satisfy. Well, you're in good company. In good company. The psalmist in year 84 seemed to know that feeling well. He longed for one thing above all else. And it was a simple thing, just to dwell in the presence of God. Now, this Psalm 84 is often called a pilgrim's psalm. It's a song of someone who's traveling. They're traveling towards the temple, wanting to get there. And it's just like the psalmist gives this sense of just focus and desire. I want to be there. I want to be where God is. Not just to visit. Not just to stop in and say hi. But to live there, to be there. Always. Always. So the question I have for you all this morning is, are you satisfied? Are you content with your life right now? I mean, here in America, generally speaking, we live pretty comfortable lives, right? Generally. I know I do. I'm looking across here and thinking, yeah, everybody here has a home. Everybody here has family they can go to. We're comfortable. And that's good. But even in then, and I think this is a universal human experience, even in maybe the most comfortable time of your life, just had a nagging feeling of, there's something I want, something that must be there. Maybe it's a relationship. You long for a spouse or a really good friend. Maybe it's some sort of a thing. You know, if I had a new car, then boy, I'd feel just so much better. If I had a nicer house, a few more rooms, a little more comfort, maybe then I'll feel better. Maybe it's a better job. Maybe it's just a trip somewhere, see something. And we try to fill that longing with something just to see if and when, if they can just feel satisfied. Now, generally speaking, again, yeah, you know, richer people tend to overall be happier. Up to a point. That's true. I was looking through this morning, you know, but even then you get to a certain point of richness. And I think the threshold was like $500,000. So I'm not really sure what they're talking about there necessarily, but you know, and then you get beyond that and you think, okay, then maybe you get happier, but there seems to be a plateau. There's a plateau there where you're just kind of this spot where you're there and not much more money is going to do much. And that makes sense to me, right? I mean, how much does someone need, right? I mean, your $1 billion. Okay, I bought everything in the world I want, and then what do I do, right? But I read a very interesting article several years ago, and they took a survey of billionaires. And it was interesting because overall, they weren't content. They had everything. And they asked one of them, said, well, okay, how much do you need? How much would you need then to be happy? And his answer was one simple word. In his mind, this is what it was. More. That's what drove him. But as soon as you have more, then you just want more. It's this cycle. But the psalmist here points us in a different direction. Points us to a place that, yes, there is always more out there, but the real satisfaction doesn't come from things or even necessarily people, but from God himself, from being with God. So as we look through this psalm, I think we want to see three basic truths, right? One, the delight of God's presence. Two, the strength of the pilgrim. And three, the value of dwelling with God. So let's take a look at these three things. One, the delight of God's presence. Verses 1 through 4. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Hey, have you ever wanted something that badly? I mean, just so bad that you're just, oh my God, if I could just have it, I want it so bad. I've been there. I mean, you know, be a little kid, simple thing is wanting a new bike, right? I mean, I want a new bike so bad. I had this bike, and it was purple. It's a purple 5-speed bike, and this banana seat on it, and shifters on the handles, you know, kind of almost like a chopper sort of thing, right? And, you know, when I first got it, I thought it was kind of cool, but then I'm driving around, and some of my friends had 10 speeds and other things, and I started to feel kind of ridiculous. And, oh, man, I just really wanted a new bike so bad. And you know, I just couldn't focus on anything else. That's all. I saved my money. I had a paper out. I could earn, you know. And when I could, I finally got a bike, and I had it. I felt so much better. But I just wanted it so badly. And as the psalmist is saying this about God, I mean, you can almost just feel the longing in the voice of this psalm. A passion in his words. He's just, I want, this isn't dry religion. This isn't coming in together and reading rote passages or singing songs and just kind of getting through it. This is somebody who is passionate, desiring of being with somebody else. And the psalmist here isn't impressed by the architecture of the temple either, right? He's not saying, I just want to see this magnificent building. It was God. It was God he wanted to be with. Now, context here, of course, in Old Testament in this time, I mean, the temple was the symbol of a presence of God. That's where he was. That's where he lived, so to speak, right? So there was a thought process of being there was special and particular. Now, some preachers may be tempted at this point to, you know, make this into a come to church sort of a sermon, all right? That's not what I'm speaking about, all right? I'm not. Because we know that God is not limited to a temple. There is some of that here. There's something special of us being together like this, and I encourage it. But it's being with God more than the place itself. I mean, even the promise of in Matthew 20, when Jesus says, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Okay, there's a significance presence when we come together, and it's great, right? That's what we want. But this is about just being near God. And again, it's so poetically, he even was jealous of the birds. He said, oh man, the birds, they can just go make a nest right there and they're all the time. How great would that be? If I could just live right there. That's a longing. It's a hunger. So let's ask the question then. When was the last time that you ached for God like that? Have you ever just so desperately wanted to be near him? Maybe it's a time of sorrow, of grief. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you so badly. Maybe it's a time of joy. Just, Lord, thank you. I just want to be in that presence. And the psalmist here is pointing us in this direction of not just this dry relationship of longing and wanting and calling us to that. To more than simply stopping in once a week for a fill-up and then going on with our days. Of a daily waking up and desiring God himself. We hunger for so many things. comfort, success, recognition. But I'm going to put to you today that the very deepest seated need we have and the greatest desire that's there will not be satisfied with anything other than God. And we get that through the sacrifice that we remember this morning in Jesus. As we come to Him, acknowledge Him, seek Him, ask for forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit, He comes into our lives, then we can start a pilgrimage to satisfaction. It is a pilgrimage. We're on the path to get there, and we want to be there. And the end of this first few verses, He said, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you." Proximity to God produces praise. So if you wonder in your lives, are you thanking, are you praising God on a regular basis? Not just here this morning, not just singing a couple of hymns. Tomorrow, next day, this week, coming to Thursday, Friday, after it's been a long week, are you praising Him? And if you're not, ask about, am I close? Am I seeking God's presence? Because His presence will produce praise. We see throughout scriptures. I love Old Testament. You think about David. I can't remember. I was reminded of this week sometime about something of David when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, and he just stripped down and ran out and danced. His wife was terribly embarrassed. I can relate. I mean, I'm not dancing around naked or anything, but right? There was this joy of presence that produces praise. And there's a delight in the presence of God. Well, secondly, then, the psalmist leads us into this description of the strength we get. The strength of the pilgrim. You know, a pilgrimage was a long trek, right? The people would want to go seek the temple, or, you know, I mean, in Islam, you know, there's a requirement to make a pilgrimage to Mecca, often a great sacrifice, long distances, traveling across barren wastelands to get there. That's what a pilgrimage is. And he says there, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Our lives, this life we are living now, these few short years we have, is a pilgrimage. We are moving towards something, right? I'm reminded of just, you know, a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, speaking of resurrection, the hope and glory of future, that's the goal. That's where we want to be. And we want the strength to get there. Most of life is kind of on the road to getting to the destination. Now, in that pilgrimage, we take a lot of effort to avoid difficulties, you know, pain, troubles, sorrows. You know, you want to plot the best route to avoid traffic, avoid tolls. But in this psalm, he talks about this valley of Baca. We're just talking about tears, dry, arid, inhospitable, difficult. That's the place you want to stay. But hear what happens in the presence of God. The valley, they make it springs to come forth. There's something of God's presence and His people in a place that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's going on around, in the presence of God, there's lushness, freshness, sufficiency. They make it a place of springs. In other words, those who trust God, they don't need to avoid the valleys. They transform them. That's what God talks about when Jesus, the gospel, I mean, what the gospel was the kingdom of God is here. And so where you go, the kingdom of God goes. Where you are is transformed. by God's presence with you. That's a whole other way to live life. It's a whole different perspective. When your heart is set on God, even the hard places become holy places. Even if nothing changes, it's transformed. Let that encourage you today. Wherever you are today, whatever, however you may be walking, maybe you're in a nice, lush place today. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's dry for you right now. Maybe you're feeling really thirsty. Maybe the terrain is really rough. I don't know. But wherever you are, walking through your own valley of Baca, grief or uncertainty, disappointment, whatever it is, God tells us and is promising us, He's turning that into a spring. He's making that a place of goodness and wholeness. Now, this isn't a promise of health and wealth and success necessarily, but that to those who trust in God, He will transform those hard places and give you the strength to get through it. That is the promise He gives us. To know Him, to be with Him. That the circumstances then don't matter. Right? If you're, you know, with the person you love, it could be a grand mansion or a lean-to. You can be happy because you're with that person. Circumstances aren't going to matter. It almost tells us they go from strength to strength. That's amazing. As you travel, the ups or downs, it's this strength. Then you go on to the next strength. God will give you what you need to get through. And part of that is community. Part of that is us being together. That's the beauty of community, that we travel together. So when one is down, the other one is there to remind, to help, to pull along. You know, to stay in the boat. I gotcha. I'm with you. Together, we travel together, strength to strength. Now, right in the middle of that, before the third little point, there's this prayer. The prayer of the worshiper. Hear my prayer, O God, Lord God Almighty. Listen, O God of Jacob. The psalmist knows where his help comes from. Not his surroundings, not his own merit, but from God's mercy. He cries out for favor. He cries for His attention. It's a humble, honest prayer, Lord. Say, Lord, Lord, I need You. Where are You? Help me. But even in that cry, there's an acknowledgement of something beyond himself. He acknowledges God as his shield. He seeks His favor. And he prays for God's anointed. He's even in the midst of whatever he needs. He wants to acknowledge and expand God's kingdom wherever he is. It's not just about his blessing, but about God's kingdom and his acknowledgement. I think, you know, when our hearts are in the right place, our prayers will align with His purposes. I pray that we are praying people. Which brings us then into this last part of the value of God's presence. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. That's perspective. Better one day in God's presence than 1,000 in the most luxurious suite in a hotel. Better than 1,000 days on a wonderful, beautiful beach in warm, perfect weather. Better. It's just that one little bit. The psalmist says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to live in tents. Or in context here, it'd be like, better to live in an old rambly shack with God than to live in a grand mansion. Nothing compares to being with God. And that helps us then. I hope it can help to have perspective that whatever our circumstances are, that we can have joy. Always. Yeah, I mean, I read the stats about money and happiness, but in my experience, I've seen so many times of people who are unexpectedly happy. Right? I remember being in Mexico, just across the border, and we were helping to build some homes on a spring break trip. You know, and we first got there, and our first night we went to this little church that was there. You know, and I remember, I'm kind of embarrassed by now, but we get in there and just kind of like, oh, what a humble little church. Boy, these people, boy, they're really just hanging in there, aren't they, right? Thinking, oh, well, good for them. I'm so happy that, you know, but there was a joy there. Well, the next day then, when we went to build these homes, it was just, you know, a 10 by 20 slab with bricks, and then we put a roof on it. And then I saw, like, oh my gosh, I had not seen poverty like that before. I hadn't been where, like, a family of six is going to live in this box. But in doing that, and being with these people, because we're out there and we're mixing cement on the ground, and then the women come up and they had a fire going, and they make tortillas, like, right there for our lunches. Unbelievable. Dude. And it was a joy. And these people, and I remember thinking, man, I grumble all the time. And I'm with these people who are just joy in their lives. I mean, New York City, and there's this housing project across the street. This neighborhood was terrible, graffiti and gangs and kids running feral and all the stuff going on. And we'd go and visit, you know, some people from this church and Christians in this place, and we'd go up and there's scaredy stairs and just hoping to get through to get, you know, and we enter this little apartment and walk into peace of a grandmother who had to raise her grandchildren and just having this safe place and just joy there. That's the presence of God, of being satisfied, of being comforted and okay with His presence. There's value there. Because nothing compares to God. If you have God, you have everything, right? And that's what, you know, Romans 8 tells us, right? I mean, that, you know, if you know, I'm a co-heir with Christ. Well, if you're a co-heir with Jesus, what does Jesus have? What is in His possession? Literally, everything. Every atom, every tree, blade of grass, every stone, every house, everything is His. And He says, you know what? You can have this with me. I'll make you a co-heir. We'll split it up. You know, we're going to share all of it. That's the perspective of a pilgrim, of knowing that everything is already mine. And no matter what I think I'm lacking now, doesn't even compare to what I'm going to have and experience with God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God is not holding out on you. He's not making you suffer or try to keep things from you. He's your light. He's your protector. He's your provider. Everything you need comes out of His presence. And the psalm ends with this. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in You. That's the final word here. It's not blessed is the one who figures it all out. Not blessed is the one who is able to establish a really good retirement account. It's not blessed is the one who is able to finally afford the car they want or the house they want. It's not blessed is the one who has all the family they want and them going out and them being successful. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. That prayer comes from a different place in the Old Testament. There's in Isaiah 8:17, it says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Even in the place of Isaiah, when he feels like God is hiding, he's not feeling God there. But even then, he says, I will trust him. I will trust him. So what have we seen today? There's delight in God's presence. There is. And if you've not experienced that, I can tell you there is. Seek it. Want it. Is that presence your goal, the urgency of your life? Do you want more of that? And if not, what do you want? There's strength in the journey. In Hebrews 13, the writer says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because the Lord has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Quoting probably from Deuteronomy 31 or Joshua 1. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Money can come, it can go. Relationships can be gone in a moment. But God will never fail. Psalm 84 reminds us that the real joy of life is not found in what we have, but who we dwell with. I know I am challenged, and I would encourage you all to make your goal this week, your prayers this week, your thoughts sprinkled throughout the week. Something like, Lord, make your presence my home. Let my heart be a living temple where you dwell. Because one day with you is better than thousands elsewhere. That's what I want for us. To have that joy of presence and desire that above all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence. For knowing that even in times we don't feel you, where you may feel hidden from us, you are there. Help us, Lord, to take comfort in that, to take delight in that, to take strength from that, and to seek that above all other things. Help us, Lord, as your people, and remind us daily. Help us to encourage each other, and may your kingdom be seen in our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.